Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We've got Mike Vrabel in 1 hour previewing the Titans divisional matchup with the Jags, which you can tell from my voice, I'm really excited about. We'll also hear from Will Levis as well. Jonathan Hutton will join the show at 12:30. Willie D, D Mace, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty good.
So we walk into a studio of Slim Jims.
Yeah, Slim Jims and Goodies. Slogans.
Where did the Slim Jim come slogans. From?
Slim Jim came from Zach Piller himself.
So he brought that.
Yes.
I heard him refer to the Slim Jim, but I didn't know if he was. He actually brought it in.
Yes, he brought in a Macho Man, Randy Savage, Slim Jim inspired. Yeah.
It's quite large. It's one of the biggest Slim Jims I think I've ever seen.
It's an overwhelmingly sized Slim Jim. Gave it to him.
Yeah.
His friend Slim Jim gave it to him.
D Mace, I got to ask you, man. Is it because Will Levis is coming on today, like to talk to the media?
Jeans.
You wore the whole jean, the Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, man.
Looks good.
You got to represent. You got to represent Will Levis. You got to represent Will Levi.
Billy Jeans.
Billy Jeans.
You got to represent him. So,
you're Derek Jeans today.
So Slim Jim, thank you for the Slim Jim.
Will you be eating one of those?
Hell no.
We can split it and be able to have snacks for the rest of the week.
I'm going to be honest. The thought of eating that Slim Jim makes me a little nauseous.
I wouldn't touch a Slim Jim. Slim Jim is the type of thing that will survive a nuclear war. Slim Jim will still be there.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why I would not put that in my body.
He said it was 15 years old, but I looked at the expiration date. It says September 23, which is this year. So I think it's okay.
Might be the expiration date.
It might be.
If it's 15
years old.
He probably
got it 15 years ago, and now it's just expiring.
Yeah. That and McDonald's hamburger patties are two things that you leave out in the sun for a few days, and they're just fine to eat.
There's three things that have, that are in common, in regards to nuclear war. McDonald's hamburgers, they will survive. Roaches, they will survive.
Oh, yes.
And Slim Jims.
Slim Jims.
Those three things. Okay. They will survive.
All three of those things I will cross out of my diet. Absolutely. One already was.
Exactly.
But appreciate the fact that every day we walk into the studio, we have a new little gift.
Yes.
From whoever it might be.
A gift that
you just never know what you're going to see in here. You
truly never know.
Look behind you, Willie. The other way.
Yeah, D-Mace did leave you a...
Yeah, I did leave you a little
bit of a present. It's a bumper sticker that says, I survived the 2020 toilet paper crisis.
Okay. It's the giving season. The gift that keeps on giving.
Part of me can't wait until the off season, like next May, somewhere around there, when we have to think about things to talk about. That's going to be on my list. The 2020 toilet paper shortage. It's going to be on my list of things to talk about.
I'm going to put that on the back of Chase's car when I leave today and not tell him. So he's just
Well, he's hearing it now.
Hopefully he's not listening.
Oh, man, yeah. That would look nice on his car. You know what else would look nice? A damn Predator victory. That would look nice.
Yeah.
It would look nice. Last night started off pretty good. Well, not in the first period, but they had their opportunities in the first period, Willie, and I know we're really going to get into it these first couple of segments. But that first period, they had an opportunity, to put some points on the board, some goals on the board, and they were not able to take advantage of the power plays. Just like the Titans inside the red zone. You get inside the red zone, you come out 0-3, how many games are you going to win? And that's what the Predators did last night. They didn't take full advantage of the opportunities that they had on a power play. Second period was better. But that first period, when you got a team like that, and you have an opportunity to, put some goals in the net, you got to take advantage of it, especially with a young team.
I could not agree more. It's tough right now. The last two games, I feel like, they walk away thinking we should have won this game. This is two in a row that they've led by two goals. Three of the last four games, they've led by two goals in the second period, and pretty far into the second period in most of the cases. And they're just not finding ways to close those out. And so that's not a recipe for success when that happens. And so you're looking inward and trying to figure out what's going on. I think there was an eye-popping stat last night. You mentioned one, D-Mace. You know, they got a power play goal last night. 1-for-5, that's not bad. But, you know, you have more opportunities.
Exactly.
You get one more. If you go up 3-0, what is it? Like, I think the last two games they've had chances to go up by more than two and maybe deserve to be up by more than two if you can convert, and they're not. And last night, tons of time in the offensive zone. Tons of time. But somewhere in there needs to be another goal, right?
Yeah.
When you have the puck in the offensive zone and you're zooming around and you're wearing the defense down, it should lead to more offense. And I think that's something I'm sure the next couple of days as they go back to the drawing board, they'll look at. And right now they're not getting the wizard, the magical person to erase mistakes and give you more margin for error. They already don't have a lot of margin for error. And where they make up for it is having a superstar goalie. And right now he's not playing like a superstar. I mean, that's just really the facts of the matter. And he knows it. Everybody knows it. Nobody's going to hang him out to dry in that locker room. You will never hear that. And I have the utmost confidence that he will turn it around, but he's not playing the way he's capable of playing right now. And it just, and sometimes that exacerbates all of these things we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. And it highlights how many times UC Saros has disguised some of the shortcomings on this team, whether it's that last season or earlier this season when UC Saros had career best save percentage earlier this season. And I do want to get into Saros, but it's becoming a trend of the Predators not being able to hang on to leads. And in certain games, if you just get blown out by a team that's obviously better than you, do you like it? Absolutely not. But you can step away from it and say, that's the gap between us and this team. We just weren't good enough tonight. But that hasn't been the case in the last two games. Against Anaheim and against Arizona, you could make the argument that the Predators were the better team on the ice in both of those games. And they just weren't able to hold on to those leads. And I don't know what that is. Is that a change of system? That maybe you are now maybe a little bit more, you know, susceptible to not being able to hold on to leads? Is that just youth? Is that, you know, you have some young players that are able to kind of sit back maybe a little bit and feel a little bit more comfortable than they should? But I can't put that all on youth because there's plenty of experience that we saw out on the ice last night. So I don't know what that is, why they're not able to hold on to leads against teams that they've outshot.
Yeah, and teams that are not powerhouse teams.
Yes,
like if you look at Calgary, Anaheim, and Arizona are all teams in the middle, I would say, that you're trying to be better than with your objective, right? Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you say, you know, we couldn't hold on to a lead against Vegas or Toronto or a real high-powered team that can score big time. That's a different deal. And then within those three games, right, where they have two-goal leads, different things. Calgary, I didn't think they played very well in Calgary. Saros was keeping them afloat in that game. That looked like vintage UC Saros for a while, and then they just kept, you know, beating on the door, and finally they busted through in the third period. The last two games, I never got the sense that the other team was overwhelming them at any point in the game. Really, it was just a letdown, a breakdown here or there that ends up in a goal. One of them went off the Predator player. You know, there's been a little bit of bad luck in there. It's not one thing, but man, it's incredibly frustrating because not only are they not holding on to the two goal leads, it's not even going into overtime where you at least get the point, and you're saying, okay, this is not perfect, but, you know, at least we got something out of it. So it's doubly tough because they come up empty-handed, where for most of the game, I thought in both of these last two games on this homestand, they were the better team.
Yeah, even when sometimes you're the better team, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win.
No question.
You know,
no
games
question.
Or you know, hockey games.
And on the reverse can be true.
Exactly.
Right? If they'd have won, but they'd been outplayed, be like, oh, great win. Mm-hmm. They found a way.
They scrapped their way to a victory.
And hopefully there will be some of those over 82 games too. But
right.
You know, the key is that consistent process You know, what are we getting on one end? What are we giving up on the other end?
Yeah, and the quotes that stand out to me from yesterday, Coach said, we lose a little bit of our focus on some of our systematic responsibilities. And then he also said, we go a little rogue, you know, at times, meaning guys get outside of the system because they want to try to do more. When if you play within the system will allow for you to do more, but you just got to stick with it. You got to, you got to buy it. There's one thing, Willie, about buying into at the beginning of the season. Everybody, you know, if you have a team that buys into what you're preaching at the beginning of the season before anything starts, that's one thing. But there's another when you're asking them to buy in at that particular moment. Like, you need to buy. I understand you know the big picture of buying in, but you got to also buy in to the little things that we're doing throughout the game. He said it. Systematic responsibilities. We're losing it. So that tells me, yeah, you say you're buying in, but are you buying in when we need you to buy in? We need you to stay focused. We need you to stay within the framework of what we're trying to do as a hockey team. And sometimes, and these are his words, sometimes guys go rogue. He didn't point out which guys. He just said, listen, you go rogue. It happens in football all the time. We talk about it. When you try to do too much, when Vrabel says you set the edge, set the edge. Don't try to be Superman and dip up under. Because the minute you dip up under, that safety believes, hey, listen, you're supposed to go outside. I'm supposed to hit that. Now we're both hitting the same exact, you know, gap. Mm-hmm. And the guy's running outside of us. Play your role. Do the things that we're asking you to do. And that's what Coach is saying. Don't go rogue. Believe in what we're doing at that moment. I know you believe in the big picture and bought into the big picture, but believe what we're doing at the moment is going to work. And I don't know if, because it's such a young team and they're trying to, these personalities, and it's such, we're so young into the season, I don't know if guys have bought in to that philosophy quite yet. It may take more games for them to truly buy into what Coach is preaching.
Like, did we perhaps underestimate how long a system change would really take place? Where you can grasp the system, but it's a second thing to be able to execute a new system at a high level, especially when there's so much other change going on in this team.
Because the things you have to fight against as a player, and sometimes as a coach, everybody can buy into it when things are going great. Everybody can do the things that way. But it's the times when things are not going great. Mm-hmm. You got to fight yourself as a player to stay within the framework of the game and not revert to what you used to do, or, you know, the system we used to run. And I can do this, and maybe no. Stay within it. It may work one time, but for the majority of the times that we're out there, it's not going to work if you don't buy into what we're doing at that particular moment or that particular period.
I think sometimes, too, an example of how it can happen is, like I was saying, you look at the stats, offensive zone time, the possession, who has the puck. What does Andrew Burnett always say? We want the puck. Mm-hmm. If we lose it, let's get it back. They had the puck a lot last night. But if it's not leading to goals, then it's easy for a player, sometimes even a veteran player, to say, man, we need to make a play. I need to make a play. Let's do it. I'm going to make it happen. And in doing so, you can go outside the system. Let's think of basketball, right, where a guy just says, let's run the set play. Well, the set play is for us to set a couple screens, make a couple passes. And the guy says, nope, I got it. I'm going one-on-one. I'm going to drive it. I'm going to force it. And you put up a bad shot. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where it can happen. And I think that's a little bit of what Andrew Burnett's talking about sometimes, especially if you've got the lead, right? There's no need to be impatient. Mm-hmm. But it's just, there's a little bit of, right now, anything that can go wrong is going wrong.
Yeah.
And it's weighing on them mentally, I think. It's a tough challenge right now.
When you're sitting at 5-10, of course.
It doesn't look good, right? If your record's 5-8-2 or 6-7-2 or something, you're it doesn't look as bad in the standings, right? But 5-10, you're sitting there going, man, that's where the regulation losses and not even getting to overtime, it's costing them. They've left a lot of points on the table here. They've played better than the record. It's not like they're going in there and they have no chance, right? That's, I guess, the bright side, if you want to look at it, is it's not like they're getting blown out of the water in most of these games. They're giving themselves a chance, and they're walking out of there real frustrated because they're like, we're capable of better.
That's probably the more frustrating thing, is you have a chance and you are able to create a lot of shots, but you weren't able to hold on to it.
And they didn't give up a lot of shots. They only gave up 20 shots last night.
That's the frustrating thing, is the opportunity that was there that you snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And I think that whenever we have conversations like this with the Predators, it's important to couch them with the expectations that we had for this team. Nobody expected this team to be a playoff team. I would have hoped that they could have, because I thought, what great experience for these young guys to be able to have playoff games at Bridgestone. How fun would that be for us as a city? It's great. I mean, there's no downside to making the playoffs. But let's revert back to, we didn't expect this team to do, I don't want to say to do much, but we didn't have Stanley Cup expectations for this team, that this team is going through a re-whatever you want to call it. Barry Trotz and a Brunette, they said, hey, we know it's going to be tough. We know that we're going through a transitional period. And right now, you're feeling the effects of that. It's easy to talk about in June when you're like, hey, okay, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's easy to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Once it actually is difficult, as fans in the locker room, so on and so forth, it's a little bit more difficult to swallow.
And I think it's what's tough for the group right now is the more games where you don't have the results, maybe it's a little bit harder for a group like that to pull out of it and get a change, right? That's where they need the positive reinforcement. Because I really do think there's something there. This is where I give Andrew Brunette a lot of credit. Because he's not using that. He's not playing that card, right? He's saying we're capable of better. He's not, even when they've won, he's saying, I still don't think I'm seeing the system the way it's going to be, it needs to be. He's holding people accountable. He's not saying, well, it's okay, we lost because it's a rebuild. You know, they're not going there, which I admire, because they could. But I do think right now there are some things that are happening, and we're going to get to the goalie part of it in a moment. But especially without Novak, what you see in the lineup right now, you see a couple of lines that can do some good things. But over time, can they score enough? Like let's say just the defensemen themselves. In the past, when they had not just Roman Josi, but they had Ryan Ellis, and they had PK Subban, and they had Mattias Ekholm, who was not an offensive defenseman, but those guys were going to get you some offense, the four of those guys. Like, that was in the heyday. Now, it's Roman Josi, and there's not a whole lot else coming from the blue line offensively. Tyson Barrie is great at running the power play. He's going to get the puck. But goal scoring from defensemen, you're not getting a lot there. Philip Forsberg's doing his thing right now. His numbers are coming around. Novak was chipping in.
Well.
But he's out. So now those bottom two lines, when you don't have Parsonen, Tomasino, some of the young guys that were hoping would pick up the slack there, you got some lines on a given night that they could be doing their job with the system. Mm-hmm. They could be, like last night, they were humming around the offensive zone, but they're not gifted offensive players. And if they're not chipping in a goal here and there, that's where, you know, you're coming up short in some areas. So these are the things, these are the growing pains where, as Barry Trotz said, I need some patience because we got to find out what we have here and what we don't have.
And that's the important thing. Barry Trotz told us. Andrew Brunette told us. It's not fun to listen to it, but you're seeing it. It doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck in this mucky kind of purgatory forever, but we were told what to expect, that this is a re-something and a re-something.
Trotzification.
A re- whatever.
Whatever you want to call
whatever,
it.
Whatever. A re-something. Reduce, reuse, recycle. It's hard to feel the effects of that. But I want to get into your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike is on the line with a question on the Predators. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So last night we were there at the game, and I had a two-part question. One's like maybe the rules of the game question. I noticed that it felt like every single faceoff, somebody was getting caught out of the faceoff area. Like, I know Ryan O'Reilly's probably our best faceoff taker, and it felt like he was being caught almost every time they were down there. What are the rules, and like, what is that supposed to, like, I don't really guess I understand why they toss people out every time that they do. And then my other question is, it's hard to put the blame. I know you guys said you're going to get to the goalies later, so I don't want to jump the gun. But, like, I don't know if I could fully put the blame on all the goals last night on Saros. But it looks like right now he's not making that, like, game-breaking save that we almost tend to count on him for. So I guess I just know where you want to spread that blame and how much can you put on the feet of Saros. Because I know we have Askarov, who's killing it right now in Milwaukee, waiting in the wing.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Mike. Appreciate it.
So I think in the next segment we're going to try to break down the goaltending a little bit.
Yeah.
On the face-off part, I think that sometimes the linesman is a little more sensitive and attention to detail than others, mm-hmm. and is going to be a stickler for one thing or another. So I think that you see some games where nobody gets thrown out of the face-off circle. Both guys are trying to gain an edge, mm-hmm. right? They're trying to, you know, without blatantly saying cheating, like if you cheat, you're going to get thrown out, right? But you're trying to, you're not trying to cheat, but you're trying to get as much of an advantage. You're trying to anticipate that drop. You're trying to, and then when the guy kind of fakes like he's going to drop the puck and then doesn't drop it and then throws you out for cheating, you know, it's like you dangle the carrot out there and then you pull it back. You're like, hey, whoa, drop the puck, man. So there's just a lot of that game within the game mm-hmm. kind of stuff that goes on. So that's not, I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. But the face-off is important, right? There's one of the goals, one of the key goals in the game Saturday was a play where Arizona wins the face-off. You know, somebody wins. Sometimes you're going to lose the face-off.
Someone has to win it.
They won the face-off. They float a puck through traffic. It sort of magically gets through, and they get a goal. Like, that's where winning the face-off can be a big play in a game because you never know, you know, what – that can be the difference in the game, a face-off that you win that you turn into a good offensive chance and a goal.
I want to get to the caller's second point about the goalie, about UC Saros, because that caller is not the only Predators fan that has had some questions about UC Saros, about Superman maybe not being Superman as of late. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Is there a concern with Saros? I mean, we know how good of a goaltender he is, but it just kind of feels like every mistake right now is ending up in the back of you guys' net.
Yeah, I'm a concern. I think it was self-inflicted on our part. Pretty much every goal was lack of coverage, mistakes on our end. I thought besides that, we're pretty airtight. But right now, when there's a mistake, we're not helping Juice out. We're blocked. We're screening them. We're doing some uncharacteristic things, and it's hard on the goalie.
That was Andrew Brunette after the game last night. And he's not willing to say that he's putting blame on UC Saros. And Andrew Brunette says we need to be better in front of UC Saros. And that's true. I don't think that you're sitting at 5-10-0 with just the blame being pointed at one person, that everybody needs to be better. That you can't always expect UC Saros to be skating on his head and being an absolute Superman and stealing games every single night. But UC Saros is currently looking at a .919 save percentage. That's not, it's lower than that.
It's well below that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love 919.
Yeah, that'd be great.
919 is excellent. It's below 9.
Yeah. And I mean, he has, because this is, I'm not going to say it's a reoccurring problem, but it's a reoccurring theme with him. And I think sometimes you got to ask, is it what's in front of him? Is it him? Or is it everybody, yeah.
It's like when Eddie George, or pick a running back, uh-huh. Derrick Henry, goes through a stretch of 3 or 4 games.
Exactly.
And he's not doing well. It's like, is it Eddie or Derrick, or is it the offensive line not blocking?
Everyone around.
Is it the coaches?
Is it the play calling? Yeah. You know, so is it just the other team's really good?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of these things are things to consider, for
exactly.
sure.
And all of it could be a contributing factor, but I think he has to find out a way, meaning UC Saros, he has to find out a way to not start off slow.
Yeah.
Because that's been the theme. That's people, well, you see, he's known for starting off slow and he eventually comes on, which is correct. He eventually comes on and ends up being, you know, exactly what we know he is.
We saw that last season.
Exactly. But he has to find out a way, especially now with this team being so different. He has to find out, how do I buck the trend of me starting off slow? Mm-hmm. I got to figure this out. And then the team needs to figure it out. I think it was Yossi. Yossi said, you know, they got a couple of days off here. And he said, we all need to figure out and look at our game and basically self-internalize, like self-scout ourselves.
Yeah.
We got to all look at our game and see what we need to do better. Yes, you know, UC needs to play better. Yes. But we all need to play better in a sense. And that's where, you know, it comes in with me in regards to UC. He has to look at himself and say, how do I buck the trend of starting off slow? I got to figure this thing out, because me starting off slow coupled with us not, you know, taking advantage of certain situations that we have, it ends up us having to fight an uphill battle at the end of the season. And even if I'm standing on my head, it's still not enough at times, because we've dug ourselves such a hole at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So they all, including UC, he has to figure out what can I do to change this sort of narrative of me starting off slow and then picking up at the end, you know, picking up at the latter part or the middle of the season from there on out.
Yeah, I think as the coach, very few, and Andrew Burnett being a guy that played over 1,000 games in the league, he knows this very well. Goalies are – there are not a lot of head coaches that are former mm-hmm. goalies, right? So most head coaches don't understand what it's like to be in those skates, mm-hmm. you know? It's a tough job, right? And you don't want to add to any mental strain, especially when you have a guy with the track record of UC Soros. So almost never – even the Oilers – they've got a glaring goaltender problem. It has been a problem. It's going to be a problem. And yet, they're still going to try their best not to hang the goalies out and say, yep, we played great. If our goalie would get his act together, if our goalies would just make a save every now and then, we would not be in this mess, right? Rarely mm-hmm. do you hear a coach go there. And same way, good teammates don't do that. They're not going to say that. But
especially a goaltender that's done so much for this
team. No question. So you mentioned 919, right? So the save percentage is one thing that you look at. So that's
892 on the season. I take that back. Excuse me.
So 919 is basically UC Soros for his career, which is exceptional. Exceptional. But 919, the save percentage doesn't tell you the whole story, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting here and I have the goalie equipment on, which would be very scary, right? I would be just trying to stand up on my skates. Mm-hmm. But if you guys just shots from the blue line along the ice, I could probably stop 919, right? I would probably stop most of them. Mm-hmm. So all shots are not created equal. So there are some systems, if you're just playing defense and you're trying to win 2-1, you can beef up that save percentage. Also, in the context of the league, the save percentage in the league is down. I think the average save percentage now is just over, last I checked, it was 903. It may have gone up a point or down a point, but that's down. Like, it used to be, you know, if you weren't at 910 or 915, you were, you know, kind of average, you know. And so you see the occasional guy, like UC in a great year, will get up into the 925 range. Yeah. But, you know, this is not a great defensive team, and they're trying to play up and down, so they're going to give up some more chances. But when your save percentage drops below 90, people start asking, okay, what's going on with the goals? So then we get to goals saved above expectation. Mm-hmm. That is where UC Soros has been in the last 3 years since he took over as the main starter. He's been in the top three in that category. He's stealing games. He's making saves that you're not supposed to. Like, here's the quality of the shots. What should you be expected to save as a good goalie, mm-hmm. as an average goalie? Well, he's been way, way above average, which is why he's been in the Vezina conversation for a team that hasn't done great things, hasn't dominated the league, right? He's elevated them. Right now, he is uncharacteristically low in that category right now. He is 67th out of 73 goalies right now in goal save above expectation. So he's below expectation right now by about 5.75 goals. It depends on what site you look at. Different analytics sites have different ways, but no matter how you look at it, there's some goals that are going in that shouldn't go in. So why is that? Is he not focused? Is he just not in the groove? Is there some bad luck? Now let me give the bad luck. There are some pucks, like take Nashville's leading 2-0 late in the second period. A guy shoots it from the wing. It's not an overly dangerous shot, but it glances off of Mark Delgado's stick and changes directions just enough, and it goes in. That is not an area on the ice that you should score very often from. But it just seems like that's happening a lot. There's probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 goals in there that have gone off of a Predator. And sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Like, sometimes in the aftermath, hindsight's 20/20, let's say, Derek, you're giving up your body. You're trying to throw your body in front of the shot. You're going to do anything for this team to win. But it goes off of you and it goes by me. And I'm the goalie. I'm saying, Derek, just let the shot go through, man. I would have saved that. Just let me see the shot. Don't throw your body where I get screened or it goes off of you. It changes the angle of the puck. But that's hockey, right? You at the end of the day, you want your over time, you should come out ahead on that if you have defensemen that are good at blocking shots and things like that. But I think they're getting the short end of that. So that's a part of it. And I do think that there are times where he's just not making the big save that you're used to him making. He made a couple of great saves last night. He made some real good saves. But
he's going to make good saves.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I still feel like I have 100% confidence that by the end of the year, the numbers are going to be there. But right now, it's not happening, and you're seeing the results of that.
And I think you're seeing the perfect storm of a team in a transitional period trying to embrace a new system combined with a goaltender that has a track record of starting off slowly. That the goalie he is in January and February is much improved, history would show, than the goaltender that he is in October, November, even early December. I think you're just kind of, it's the perfect storm of a combination of all of those things where you're seeing a team that can score goals. We scored 5 goals against Arizona, weren't able to stop enough.
Yeah. And sometimes in there, probably a goalie goes back and says, is there one in there that I should have had? And I think that most goalies as competitors would say, yeah, I should have had that. Here's a point that Chris Mason has made a few times. And this is, again, not to try to make excuses, but it's just trying to look into the issue as to the why. And he says, when you change, and I pay attention to a goalie's perspective, right? He says, when you change coaches and you change some personnel and you change the system, the formula of where the pucks are coming from, the angles, what does the system give up a little bit more? It takes a little while for the goalie to adjust. Sometimes there's that sixth sense of, here's how we play, here's how I know we're going to defend this play, and this is what we're going to give up, and boom, I'm ready for it before it happens. I still think there's a little bit of newness to it, and maybe there's that explains a little bit. So I think there's all of these little things are adding up right now. A little bit of a slow starter, a little bit of bad luck, a little bit of just not being as sharp, and a little bit of new system and the team having some big breakdowns at the wrong time, and it's not going their way. And you add it all up and you have a team that's 5-10 and your Vezina Trophy goaltender is below average right now. And statistically. Because the numbers are the numbers, right? You can't he knows what the numbers are. You can say, well, this explains this or that, but at the end of the day, I know UC Saros, right? He's in there going, I got to be better.
But he's the guy that, you know, in the midst of all this changing and buying in, I think he's sort of the guy that's at a disadvantage because he has to sort of fit his game. I can say, well, you know, a goalie is a goalie no matter where you're playing here, you're playing on the moon, you're a goalie. But I think it's a little bit more than that. I think it's, yes, I know my job and I know how to do it, but now you're changing in what's in front of me, how I view it in front of me. You know, for years they were more of a defensive team. So he knew what to expect. Mm-hmm. Then it's an offensive team. Now, you know, I have to change what I'm seeing. Everybody else is going to make their changes in regards to what they're doing from an offense standpoint. Coach said, listen, Coach, we want to be able to push the puck up. We want to be more offensive. We want to get the puck up and go. Not that we're not going to play defense, but when you are trying to be more of an offensive team, I think it's harder for the goalie than to – it's going to take him a minute to adjust to how you're playing in front of him. And maybe that is contributing to, you know, yes, he's a slow starter, but then that compounds it. I'm usually a slow starter, but then you're changing what's in front of me and how I defend it.
And that gets emphasized.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And that's what the team tries to do also. When you hear Andrew Burnett say, we got to do better in front of him, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to limit the number of times that his goalie gets put in a tough position. Like there were some things last night. You always roll the tape back. Like you can watch the tape of the goal going in and say, hey, you know, maybe the goalie could have stopped that. But if you roll it back a little further, you're like, hey, the Predators had the puck here, and they turned it over. You know, what if they didn't turn it over right here? What if so-and-so makes a good pass here, or if he makes the right play, then that team never gets that shot. You know, those are the types of things. That's how the coach's mind works, right? How do we do what we can to protect our goalie and be better in front of him? I think both things, hopefully what a good team does is both things happen, and then you start getting better results.
I think overall, every single person in that locker room would say we're 5-10-0 and we're not good enough. Nobody is playing well enough. The goaltender is not playing well enough. We're not playing well enough in front of him. We're not scoring enough. We're not holding on to leads. The coaching staff isn't coaching well enough. And I think that's fair to say when you're sitting at a record like that. But overall, tell me if you all feel differently. I'm not concerned about this team. I don't think I can be concerned about this team. Because they told us what to expect. Now, once February, March comes around, I want to see some improvement. I want to see more from the young guys since this is an emphasis on youth this season. But right now, you got a lot of change. You have a lot in transition. Does it look great? No. Should fans be frustrated? Sure, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not concerned.
I mean, why would you be at this? We're at 15, 16 games in. You know, this team is a young team. The expectations were what they are. So looking at them 5-10, can you be that disappointed? Yeah, you could be disappointed in certain play.
Yeah.
But as far as a whole, can you be disappointed where they are? As a fan, you want them to win. But coming into the season, Trotz made no qualms about it. This is what this is, you know. It's going to be a process, and be patient with us. So in saying that, you can't be, you know, disappointed. I guess you can't be disappointed, but you can't be surprised that the record is what it is. Now, can they play better? Obviously, yes, you feel they can play better. Can they do some things that, you know, that may change the outcome? Yes. But I think as a whole, if you knew exactly what you were getting into, and you said, well, 5-10 is the record. I think people would be like, okay, this is what I probably expected somewhere. I would love to have a couple more wins, but this is what I expected.
And let's go back.
I think, though, that they feel like they should be
of
better.
Of course, their record always should be better. Feel that. Yeah.
There's the stat I love. Every time I go into these analytic numbers and Hal Gill starts looking at me, after a certain amount, like he can absorb a few numbers, but at a certain point he says, give me the get-it-done-tivity. He goes, that's my analytic. Get-it-done-tivity.
I like
and
that.
And right now they're 5-10. So their get-it-done-tivity is low. But I feel like they believe that if you look at everything that's going on out there, they should be better. Like they're capable of being better. I think that's the drive right now. It's one thing to fall short. Mm-hmm. But like, who are you playing? Right, these last couple teams, they have not been playing the powerhouse teams in the league. Right, it's one thing to say, you know, they're working really hard, but they're just not as good as X. That's not the case here, right? I think they're judging themselves on what are they capable of. I think they think they're capable of better, even though there's definitely some weaknesses right now. There's some things that they knew were going to be question marks. Mm-hmm. How would the young players do? And not all of them are pulling the rope, you know, or that, like they hope they would. You know, it's not going to be a perfect storm, but they need more from the group collectively.
That's the tough thing about a re-whatever is whenever you,
re-whatever?
You place emphasis on the young guys. It's exciting to think about seeing what the young guys can do and seeing the production from some new names and new faces. But as we talked a lot, whenever Barry Trotz said they wanted to go through this re-whatever, we said, there's no guarantee. There is no guarantee that you go through this process this offseason and you come out on the other side smelling like a rose just a season removed. No, it takes time. It's not always easy. And there's still a lot of time left this season. But we were told to expect some turbulent times. That's what you're seeing. Let's get into your phones on this coming up next before we get to Mike Vrabel in 15 minutes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And you can join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Dee Mace at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs this Sunday from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 11 matchup against the Jags and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed.
Based on the mental lapses and the results, do you change your approach in the system, or is it more so just growing pains because new coach, new system?
Yeah, no, I like the way we play. And again, another night where you feel good leaving the rink if you just think about your own game. The result stinks, but I think if we continue to grow, the score will take care of itself as we get better.
There you go. That was Andrew Brunette after the Predators' 3-2 loss last night. Predators now sit at 5-10-0 on the season. Let's get into your thoughts on it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, I knew this was going to come. I knew it. I called it a few months ago. I knew it. What are your thoughts on Duchesne killing it for Dallas right now? It always seems like when a player moves on from either the Preds or the Titans, 9 times out of 10, they're way better. Here's my thing about Duchesne and Johansson. I do not care if you are Stanley Cup MVP. Do not care. Mm-hmm. Do not care. They needed to get out of here.
Yeah, it's and that happens in sports. We you know, and the Titans ran into it. You know, people talk about, you know, Josh Reynolds, him, the production he's getting with the Detroit Lions. People look at, well, look at what he did. Well, he wasn't doing it for this team, you know. Other guys or guys that are that did it with this team and not doing it with other teams now. I think Duchesne, it came a point to where he had given, it had worn thin, you know. What he gave in previous years was great, but what he was given at that moment wasn't enough. And you just had to move on. And sometimes guys need a fresh start. They just need to go somewhere else where, you know, everything is fresh.
The expectations
exactly.
are
expectations
lower.
Expectations are low.
Yeah. Duchesne is now in a role where fits him better.
Yeah.
The Predators, I think he was playing a little bit above his head.
Well,
they
were asking him to do more. Where he's at now, Dallas, they're not asking him to do what they were asking him to do here in Nashville. So, yes, it's going to look a little bit different. The guy has skill. He can play. But you can have a guy that has a lot of skill. You put him in a situation where he's not comfortable with, mm-hmm. he's not going to flourish.
Yeah.
You know? And then you put him in another situation where it's his role is lessened. And he doesn't have to, every time he go out there, think that, oh, I got to be the guy. Mm-hmm. Well, that's his true role, and he's thriving in it.
Yeah.
But when we asked you to be that guy, you just couldn't do it.
Yep.
And the Predators was like, listen, we got to move on. Mm-hmm. So I understand where that comes from with fans, but y'all were probably the same people that were saying, get rid of him. He needs to go.
Yeah, well, we laid this out when they made those moves, right? That they, especially when they found new homes. Johansson was traded to the Avs, mm-hmm. and then within, you know, when the free agency period started, eventually Duchesne ended up with the Stars not long after the Predators bought him out. And I think we all said, look, those guys as secondary scorers mm-hmm. for teams that are built to win right now, championship-level teams, that could work out pretty well for those guys, right? So I would just ask the question, because this very well could continue, right? The Predators could struggle, and they could continue to have good seasons. But I would ask the question, do you want it back? Would you want it the other way?
I'm good.
Are you? Would you wave a magic wand and bring those two back at the price they were at?
Nah.
I think most people would agree.
It's like when you ask a number two.
It's just time to turn the page.
Exactly.
Right?
When you ask a number two wide receiver, be a number one wide receiver. And then you complain when he's not giving you the production. Well, hell, he wasn't a number one wide receiver. You should have figured that one out.
Paying someone like a number one does not make them
exactly.
Number one. Just
absolutely.
Makes you a lot more frustrated and your pocketbook a lot emptier.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will get to Mike Vrabel here coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.